Remember the part of the Back to the Future movies where the bad guy got rich? It's because he got a hold of that sports almanac listing the winners in major sports from the future, and he placed the bets that won him all that money. Well, would that we had reliable information like that on the future. The best we can do is make educated guesses. Today's guest makes those about the Rogue Valley economy, and he's been at it for a while now. Mark Dennett is with Dennett Consulting Group, the principal there, and DCG Research, and he's our guest in the studio here on the Jefferson Exchange. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You've been giving predictions on the Rogue Valley economy, it looks like, for, well, the better part of two decades now. How get started?
Well, you know, the Southern Oregon Rental Owners Association invited me to make a presentation. And I told him, I said, you know, this was almost 18 years ago. And I said, well, I'm not an economist. I said, and they said, well, you know, you're probably more entertaining than an economist. So I think since then I've been doing it. And every year they seem to invite me back. And, you know, my research base business, actually, it's based out of Eugene. Dr. Nick Lugi is head of research for me. And, you know, we've done more than, good heavens, 30, 40, 50, you know, about 50 different studies. We do them for all types of businesses, polling. We do nonprofits. You know, we've just done a lot. So, you know, I do enough research and I'm just interested in research and I'm always reading and always exploring things. So, you know, these are kind of educated guesses, but I'm not an economist. You know, if you want one, John Mitchell is the U.S. bank economist, retired, is probably much better.
But your background is in marketing, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah, stuff, yeah, totally. You know, I was a partner in an advertising agency here since 1984. And then in 1997, I started my own company called the Dennett Consulting Group. And I primarily do most of my marketing work is in retirement communities and in tourism. So I've done a lot of tourism marketing.
In fact, we had you on a few months ago, it seems like, to talk about the Crater Lake marketing
campaign. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the things I was talking about last night, was that one of the big changes in tourism, why tourism, by the way, this year may have their best year since 2005. Again, that's kind of depending, you know, if we have water in the Rogue River and we don't have fires. But it's been, you know, tourism is really back. And one of the reasons is because of the cooperative nature. Oregon is really one of the better states for doing cooperative marketing. CraterLakeCountry.com is why I was on. And that's just, that website is growing. More and more people are visiting. And then the state of Oregon also has a Seven Wonders of Oregon is their new campaign. And one of them is Crater Lake. So everything is pointing to a lot more people coming to visit Southern Oregon this year.
It seems like, and of course, this is where I live, so I notice it more, but it seems like there's a lot of slicing and dicing, looking for different pots of not only money to fund the campaigns, but also different locations of consumers, things that appeal to them differently.
Absolutely.
You know, so you have a lot of little entities that sort of combine together for things like the Crater Lake Country.
Exactly. And I think that's where the difference has been, is that we're all realizing that, you know, if you make the pie bigger, every piece of the pie is larger. And I think when I got here 30 years ago, you know, a lot of people thought, well, gee, if you grow, then I won't grow. And, you know, like, okay, if we add another hotel, then I won't grow. You know, one of the interesting things locally here is that one of the big changes, I'm doing a research study for about seven different DMOs. Those are destination marketing organizations like Travel Medford, Ashland has one, and so forth. And one of the big changes is vacation rentals. You know, when we started a study for the Southern Oregon Visitors Association back in 2008, vacation rentals are about 1% of the market. Today, they're 15%.
Really? That big?
Yeah, and they're actually larger and more important than B&Bs. And I owned a B&B, and so, you know, this is causing major challenges for Ashland, figuring out how do you license them, you know, how do you control them, you know, how do you make them a viable part? Because, again, 30 years ago, even 8 years ago, you know, vacation rentals weren't a big segment. But, you know, I find it fascinating that Airbnb, which is about to go, has 600,000 properties, okay, worldwide, and is going to go public. They're looking at going public, and they're going to be
offering their stock for something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're going to be valued at $10 billion. That's what Wall Street believes, and that is greater than the Hyatt Corporation.
Wow. And I was about to say, I mean, the people who probably need to worry the most are hotels. My sister recently was reporting on Facebook about going to New York City. She lives in Virginia. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what hotel she stayed at. No, she got an apartment through Airbnb. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not sure that, again, this goes back to the other thing. If you make the pie bigger, if you have more people traveling, some people are going to pick Airbnb and some people will pick a hotel because there are different reasons. When I owned a B&B, I've owned a vacation rental too, primarily in Sun River, but people pick different lodging for different reasons. And I think that that's why when you make the pie bigger, you get people, okay, you have a family that wants to bring the pet and has kids. Well, most hotels are just not a comfortable place to do that. Vacation rentals will probably allow you to do that. So again, I think it's you make the pie bigger, more people travel, and everybody kind of finds a corner. Yes, there is no question, though, that Airbnbs, VRBOs are really, are taking a little bit of slice out of B&Bs and taking a little bit of slice out of hotels. But the research I was just mentioning, hotels and motels are still the dominant player. I mean, like 65%. They're the dominant player and will be.
All right, so that's the tourism end of things. I mean, what other predictions are you making about the Rogue Valley economy generally and where things are going to head in the next? And is it a prediction of 6 months, 18 months?
Well, years? I usually try to talk because I speak to them, this group, once a year. So I try to predict about a year to two years. And but one of the things that I mentioned yesterday that and John Mitchell, who spoke to the chamber in January, said that there are many, many pieces that are showing growth. And I totally agree with him. You know, I was talking to Ron Fox, head of So Ready, the Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development. I don't know if he's been on this program.
Yes.
But, Ron made a great comment that he says the region's diversity is the reason our major economic strength. And, Gregor, I don't know if you remember when you came to the Valley, we came about the same time, 1984. Most people only talked about pears, wood, and maybe tourism someday. Mm-hmm. That's it. But now we have a far more diverse economy, and I think that is the power of this economy. And so last night I was talking about healthcare. It's growing. I talked about agriculture and timber is growing. Yes, pears are not as strong as before. China, by the way, is the world's largest producers of pears. I wasn't aware of that.
Wow.
But, now we have wines. Oh, my goodness. The winery is just, as pears are paring down, the wineries are growing. I talked about housing and construction. Housing is still a little soft because it takes takes people moving here. That's normally what. But it's doing better. But the two areas that most people are. And by the way, retirement is an area that I work in. Doing well. PRS is expanding again. They're the owner or the managers of the Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just mentioned tourism. But there are two other areas that Ron Fox mentioned to me that I wasn't really aware of. Actually, I was also talking to Commissioner Skundrick. And they both mentioned that there's a huge growth in relatively small businesses, like 20 to 40 people. But that is in specialty manufacturing and electronic commerce. And special manufacturing, they were talking about right here in the Rogue Valley, we're doing miniature screws for electronic equipment, laser control devices for medical and auto sector, radio frequency management, pizza, chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just not aware that there's a lot of specialty manufacturers here now. And then the second thing is e-commerce. That is just booming. We hear a lot about Motorcycle USA. We hear a lot about some of the bigger ones. But there are just literally hundreds. And Ron Fox actually pointed out something really interesting to me that he says that if you look at federal data, we have 10 to 12 times as many jobs and individual businesses in the e-commerce category than the national average. 10 to 12 times as many jobs. So I'm seeing that we have a very strong, the economy is going to grow certainly over the next year and the next 2 years.
Any idea about wage growth, though, Mark Dennett? I mean, that's always the big thing for the people looking for jobs. It's like, okay, I can get a job flipping burgers for, you know, $8 an hour maybe, or, well, in Oregon, closer to 10, but...
Well, yeah, or that's a really great point because, you know, again, just literally the night before I started, yesterday morning's paper, there was a big article that Greg Stiles did that was excellent, well done article.
In the Mail Tribune. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Mail Tribune. And he just said, you know, the jobless rate's stable, but jobs and labor pool are shrinking. Okay, and I agree with that. So the question is why, okay? And I ended my presentation yesterday, and I'd love to talk more about this, is because I think one of the challenges we have in Southern Oregon is we're really creating a world of have and have-nots. And the haves are going to really be participating in the future of this economy. They're going to see their wages increase, or they're going to be participating in the economy. But there's a lot of group of have-nots, and the have-nots are in. To my opinion, it's very sad that we have a lot of have-nots. And so last night I was kind of going, okay, here are the haves and here are the have-nots, and then why? What can we do about some of the have-nots?
And what were some of the things you figured out we can do for the have-nots?
Okay, well let me review some of the have-nots. Okay, because I was talking about here are the people that I see that are going to have a tough time, you know, growing in a growing economy. First of all, was local retirees. Now, I'm not talking about the retirees that are moving in, out-of-area retirees, because they're bringing a lot of money. You know, the California market has pretty well rebounded, and sure, their million-dollar home may not be worth $1 million. It may only be worth $700,000, mm-hmm. but they're still bringing $700,000 into the community here, and they're buying a nice home and putting money in the bank or in investments. But the local retirees, I'm very concerned about those. Those people are going to be driven primarily just by Social Security. And I see, and these are people I'm saying that who've you know, raised their kids here, have been here for 30, 40, 50 years, but they never worked for big companies and got high wages. They never got a great retirement program. And so I see those as having a difficult time to participate in this economy. And I don't have a solution. I think small business owners are another group here that are being incredibly stressed out. I think you're looking at, my son owns a restaurant and, you know, he's being hammered all the time with major restaurant chains coming in here. You know, he can't compete with them on a brand or marketing strategy, and his costs are going up. But I just see small business because of regulations are going to have a hard, they're going to be have-nots and I'm not sure how you solve that. I think single family households, you know, have always been have-nots, and they're going to continue. But the group that I'm most concerned about, and I spent a lot of time talking about, is young people without education. You know, so you say, how do you grow wages? I'm not opposed to the concept of raising the minimum wage, but it's kind of like Congress just passing the buck. You know, you just say, okay, well, let's make the minimum wage 50. Well, let's make it 20. Well, let's make it 30. The problem is you haven't given those people on minimum wages the skills or the opportunities to get the skills to earn more. And to me, you know, I was noticing, again, reading the paper that U.S. News and World Report said that the Ashland High School in South Medford are what in the top, the top 10% of secondary schools.
They were among the silver category, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great, okay? But we still only graduate 65% of everybody from the Medford School District, and only 52% go to college. And that means that every year, about 50% of every senior will never be above minimum wage.
So can we characterize overall that you do see fairly steady growth for the Rogue Valley economy over the next year, but obviously some areas of concern?
Yeah, I see steady growth. Again, we're very dependent on weather. So again, last year, a lot of tourism businesses didn't do too well when you couldn't float the Rogue River and you had smoke
fires, right? Mm-hmm.
And fires. So, you know, you have those issues. But if those don't come in, yeah, I see a solid growth.
Mark Dennett is the principal of the Dennett Consulting Group and DCG Research, and we're talking about his economic forecast for the Rogue Valley. Have been talking about his economic forecast for the Rogue Valley. Mark, always good to see you. Take care.
Good seeing you.